Welcome to the 1 year anniversary of Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. We have been doing this show since April 1st. Of course, that date seemed predestined because we are April Fools, obviously. And what a year it's been. It's been a year of lockdown, surviving a global pandemic. Let's see.
Yeah, it's been a drag. Other than us,
well,
it's been fantastic. We've
right.
been fantastic.
But you've been recording music.
No, I mean, I think it's been easier when I've filled my time with usefulness. Do you know what I mean?
You've written, I think, the second draft on your next memoir.
Indeed, indeed so. Yeah, and I've written some articles as well.
I've killed a bunch of plants in my aspirations to become a vegetable gardener.
That's really impressive. Let's hear it for a $300 cherry tomato.
I'm better at the lettuce this time.
Yeah, actually, I wanted to give you a kudos because you didn't give up. And so every day I look out the window and sure enough, in these giant
overpriced
towers,
containers,
there's
yeah.
some stuff in there that you could eat. Which is, you know,
and I am. I'm eating, you know, lettuce from the garden every day.
Right.
Tomatoes will be coming next, and we have a bunch of cats that we didn't have a year ago because I've been
right.
feeding the ferals.
Indeed.
And we got our vaccine last week, which
oh,
is
right. yeah, no,
super
happened.
Exciting because it's like we can see the end. We can see the end of the process, Devin. By the way, the advantage of being midlife is our city early announced everybody 50 and over gets to be vaccinated. So we got vaccinated. And it turns out our West Coast swing dance teachers also got vaccinated last week, even though they're much younger. But yay, the more the merrier. So that means we can start dancing and taking classes in person by May. And we can start traveling by May. We'll have our 6 weeks from our first shots. We can plan weddings again. And I think odds are high we're going to go to Costa Rica next. So we may be broadcasting episodes from Costa Rica in the near future.
You never know.
I want to go to Uruguay for my next birthday, the Big 5-5 in January. I had had a dream for my 50th birthday of dancing tango in Argentina.
Buen viaje.
Well, I was 5 years early, but we will do that.
Buen bailando. Sí.
If you're going to go to Uruguay, you have to go to Argentina and maybe Chile because, you know, it's all down there.
Yes, that is true. It is all down there.
So I think the next weddings will be Costa Rica, Uruguay, Argentina, Chile, and China. Because China's also on the calendar for either the end of this year or early next year.
So our lives are moving forward. We somehow made it. If you're watching this, you did it too. It's probably been a challenging year.
Yay, you!
But we're coming out through the other side of this. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Because I think we've all had to kind of give up stuff and make changes and be a little bit, you know, thoughtful in our actions, and hopefully we are all sort of the better for it. It's been a challenging one, but we're doing it.
So what is the biggest thing that you learned from your like year-long pandemic staycation?
That it was exhausting, that's for one, but honestly that I had the fortitude to just keep taking action and keep doing things that I think were useful. In other words, I did an awful lot of writing, a lot of consistent writing, lots of consistent music, although the last couple of weeks have been sort of not great with that, but I've been practicing every single day a lot. But I think I know the next song. So we're going to do some recording probably later this afternoon, which has been good. And so what have you learned?
I think my biggest takeaway, and this is interesting to me because I have been known as a wealth coach for decades. The Wall Street Journal called me a wealth coach back when I was like doing recurring appearances on Fox News. They called me their money maven. So I've been in this niche as a coach for many, many years around wealth and abundance. And what 2020 and this early 2021 drove home to me deeper than anything else is that if you are fortunate enough to have a home and to have health and to have love, you have everything. Like that, that is wealth. It's not yachts. Things are fun. I love things. I love beauty. But really, oh my God, to have a home and have health, have food and have love is really, that is the life of royalty and was for most of human history. So I just feel more grateful for what I have than anything than I think any time earlier in my life. Far less striving to impress people or achieve or accumulate than just really, really love what matters. And that was, I guess, the hidden blessing of a year of like grief and challenge and just really kind of pausing with concern for the world. So yeah, 1 year on that happy note. We have a great guest for you this week. Can't wait to introduce him to you. And thank you for joining us for our 1 year anniversary of Crazy Sexy Midlife Love.
Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
So for our first anniversary episode of 1 year of Crazy Sexy Midlife Love.
It's hard to believe.
Right? I wanted to do something special. And I've been wanting this guest for a long time. He's probably been like one of our guest moderators in more rooms than anybody else on Clubhouse. He is just so full of wisdom. I think he is perfect for this show. So we're going to bring in Oliver Marcel, who is a life coach, and he has a business with his beautiful wife, Denise, and he's got an amazing book, Overcoming the Man Laws, which we're going to dive into. And he and his wife have their own podcast, Trade Secrets, which he'll also tell us about. And I think we're going to uncover the man laws today with Oliver Marcel. So come on in, Oliver. So for our first anniversary episode of 1 year of Crazy Sexy Midlife Love.
It's hard to believe.
Right? I wanted to do something special. And I've been wanting this guest for a long time. He's probably been like one of our guest moderators in more rooms than anybody else on Clubhouse. He is just so full of wisdom. I think he is perfect for this show. So we're going to bring in Oliver Marcel, who is a life coach, and he has a business with his beautiful wife, Denise, and he's got an amazing book, Overcoming the Man Laws, which we're going to dive into. And he and his wife have their own podcast, Trade Secrets, which he'll also tell us about. And I think we're going to uncover the man laws today with Oliver Marcel. So come on in, Oliver.
Thank you so much. I am so excited to actually sit down and speak with you guys and have this conversation. Thank you so much for the opportunity. This is going to be great. I'm excited. Let me just, okay. Let me take a sip of water. Just give me a second. Let me get myself together.
This is the first time we've seen each other visually because we've been talking for months on Clubhouse. So it's kind of overwhelming to have the visual too. For yes. those of you who are watching the visual broadcast of our episode. So before we dive into the man laws and mm-hmm. what those are and why we want to overcome them, can you just give us, because you were starting to tell us about trade secrets and why it's called trade secrets, your podcast with your wife, Denise, could you?
Because that does ring of a double entendre.
Yes, indeed. And we're really passionate about relationships, about marriage enrichment, if you will. And so we live in that space quite often. And Trade Secrets was birthed out of that. And Trade Secrets is a interview style relationship podcast where we talk about all things relationships. And how that name came about is, if let's say, for example, you and I worked for competing tech companies. Let's say you work for Apple, I work for Microsoft. We couldn't go to lunch and I couldn't hand you my book of standard operating procedures, or I couldn't give you what our digital transformation strategy was for the next year. We can't share those things with each other. But in relationships, the opposite has to take place. You have to hear my wins. You have to hear my losses. I need to hear yours as well. And that way we can feed off each other and ultimately our relationships benefit and grow as a result. And so that's where trade secrets came from. We're giving away the trade secrets as it relates to relationship enrichment.
So you're saying that we women shouldn't be like hiding ourselves and all of our secrets and mysteries and being even more subtle than we are. Right.
We need to know. So yeah, that's where that came from. And it's been a great ride. We've had, you know, there are some episodes where it's just my wife and I just having a conversation. And that's kind of how it started, with some candid conversations, but have been blessed to have, you know, some phenomenal guests. Definitely want to return the favor and have you guys as well. As part of that. But yeah, we've enjoyed and we've learned. The crazy thing about it is, right, is that, yeah, we bring these guests on and, you know, it's great for us, right, as it relates to building a podcast. But we walk away. If I could point the camera down, there's a notebook down here. There's another one right here. There's a stack of papers here. We are constantly taking notes in these things and we hold on to them because it's been great for us. It's been beneficial for us.
What are your like top three favorite trade secrets?
Top three. Whew. That's a phenomenal question. Okay. I would say if I had to pick three, one that stands out and it's one I've used in my book, is that you can't demand what you have not first developed. So if you think about, and I use myself often. So anybody who's listened to me for any period of time knows I use myself as every example almost. And so there's certain things that I was just expecting from my relationship. I was expecting to be trusted. I was expecting to be respected. I was expecting for all of these things to just kind of fall my way based on my quote unquote role or where I stood in that particular relationship. But I hadn't taken any time to develop any of those things in myself. So not trustworthy, not giving out the same amount of respect, not giving out the same amount of commitment, but yet demanding that from somebody else. And it's never going to work. Never going to work. So that would be one. The other one for me has been do your best. And this doesn't work for everybody, but for it works for us. Talk about everything. Talk about everything. There are some things, obviously, that you may not be able to dig as far into based on what they are. You may have to bring in a third party or you may have to sit with a therapist or things like of that nature. But talk about it. Don't hold it in. Don't suppress it. It leads to resentment, especially if it's conflict related, leads to resentment, leads to some other things that create bigger issues down the road. So talk about everything. That would be number two. And then number three would be intentional about creating and maintaining intimacy on all levels, right? Because a lot of people, when they hear intimacy, they think immediately sex. I'm not just talking about sex. I'm talking about experiential intimacy and spiritual intimacy and emotional intimacy and all of these different conflict intimacy, matter of fact, that that lend themselves to allowing you to just bond together in a way that is just so beneficial for your relationship. So those will be the three things I think that stand out for me.
You know, one of the things that you, well, I mean, really, I think this relates to all of them. One of my favorite 50 Cent words is reciprocity. Mm-hmm. And it's mostly this idea that if I give a little, maybe if I give to the point of discomfort, I'm more likely to receive something from you. In other words, if I'm vulnerable with you, you're more likely to be vulnerable with me. And so it's sort of that whole notion of I'm going to give a little in order to get a little. And I think that sort of touches on all of those, on all of those points. I had to work at it.
Yeah.
I had to work up because it's terrifying, especially the first kind of times where it's like, oh my gosh, I need to say this, but I don't want to because I don't want to look like a fool. I don't want to lose respect. I don't want to look like I'm afraid because, you know, then I won't be cool.
Yeah.
And so how did it work for you? I mean, where did you come up with these sort of ideas? And was it just sort of like, hey, I heard somebody say something great and I wrote it down? Or was it, you know, a dream or through prayer or something?
Man, for me, honestly, it was trial and error. Like my relationship, we've been married for 20 years, a little over 20 years, and it did not start out the way that it is right now. And so there were certain things, to speak to your point, you said exactly what I was going through, right? There were certain things I'm like, I'm not going to be vulnerable. There are certain things that if you say them or admit them or don't process them internally would make me look weak, right? And I don't want to look weak. I don't want to put myself in a position where I may get taken advantage of, or I don't want to commit too much because, you know, I need a back door in every scenario. And just kind of living through that over time. And as the years going by, realizing that that is so detrimental to my success as a husband and father, that either I have to do something different or I have to live out the consequences of doing the same thing. And at that point, I wasn't sure what different was, but I knew that those were my only two options. Either I was going to do something different and see what happens, or I was just going to keep doing the same thing. And the results were already frustrating to me at that point. So those are my only two options. And so that's kind of what birthed that, man. Me just kind of digging into myself and like, okay, what is my end goal? What's the desired outcome? What's the quote unquote ideal relationship? And let me build that out in my mind. Right. And then it's like building a house, right? What's the house you want? You know, let the architect draft that up for you and dream it up for you. And then once you see it, okay, now how do we do that? Like, what do I need to do that? And that's where that process started in me figuring out, okay, this is what I want. Now I got to figure out how to get there.
So did that come from you, or was that coming from your wife, or was that coming from sort of that mystical husband wife combination, that relationship thing that evolved together?
I think it was coming. It was a little bit of both. There was definitely, if I think back, there are definitely some times where I could see my wife's frustration coming through, and knowing that, because at the core, right, I feel like I'm a good person, but it just wasn't translating into certain areas, you know? And so I know I don't want her to feel that way. And so what do I need to do to fix that? So it was some of that. And then just, I think what I felt like a relationship should probably look like. I know every relationship is different, but I had my parents' example. My parents are still together. Their relationship was a little bit different than the one I felt like I would like to craft for myself. But then I had a gentleman, he's no longer with us, but he was the guy who married us. And I looked up to him heavily, watching he and his wife interact. I was like, okay, I got to figure out, you know, what are the nuances there? You know, because this just from the outside looking in just looks like something that if I could build it, I could live like that, you know? And so it was a little bit of both of that, man. Just looking at what the relationship should be. And then here's what's funny, right? Here's what's crazy. My wife and I are married for 20 years, right? I knew her 5 years prior to us getting married. We were the best of friends. And it was crazy because when we got married, it was almost like something clicked in our brains. Like, okay, well, you can't be that silly, playful, fly by the seat of your pants person anymore. Now you're married, you're an adult. And it lent itself to us just changing into these, you know, stiff, rigid folks that, and then we're looking at each other like, I don't know you. I don't know you either. Because that's not what we were. And then having to get back to that.
Well, I think we're at a funny generation. And it started with my parents' generation, but there's been this trajectory where marriage really was a thing with really clearly defined gender roles and expectations. Mm-hmm. And then the generation before me started to feel dissatisfied with that and started to make some moves to loosen that up a little bit. And by our generation, we're just like making it all up ourselves. So we don't really have, we, Lord knows we do not, at least Devin and I do not want to follow the examples of our parents.
Yeah, no, my parents gave me the blueprint of exactly what I did not want.
Got you.
At all.
12 times.
Yeah, no, my parents were married 12 times.
Not to each other.
Not to each other, to really whoever. And my father specifically didn't necessarily have to divorce the previous wife to remarry anyone. Yeah, so he was working it out in his own special way, and there was lots to love about him. And at the same time, you know, it sort of gave me, at some point I had to give myself permission that I didn't have to behave in the ways that he did, even if I thought it was entertaining.
Right.
You know, right. I had to move into sort of a new thing. Mm-hmm. So
I think of your dad every time I hear Papa was a Rolling Stone.
Well, Papa was a Rolling Stone. So what did you, once you guys realized, okay, we've become these duds. Mm-hmm. And I say that with love in my heart.
No, hey, spot on.
Right. Okay. So once you realize, oh my gosh, I've become, you know, duds. And I don't know who my wife is. Was there something conscious that you did? Or was it just like, hey, we're going to kind of try anything and everything in order to kind of find a new way to make it work? So we've got love and fun and all that.
We did a couple things. And one thing that stands out, which is something we still kind of go back to periodically, even to this day, is that we did an exercise. And I think it came from a seminar or something that we were exposed to at some point. And we wrote down our five most important emotional needs. So what is it that you need from me in order to, and it's not about feeling whole, but what do you need from me in order to feel like this thing is growing? It has life in it. It may not be perfect, but it has life in it and it's thriving. And so each of us did that. And then we exchanged it and had a really heart-to-heart conversation about it. And there were times in that conversation where I'm looking at her list and I'm like, okay, number four, you got to help me with that. Like, talk to me about what that looks like. What do you need to hear from me? What can I not say? What can I not do? And we really hashed that out and then made a commitment that, okay, moving forward, no, it's no longer about me, which is something else that came out in the book as well. It's no longer about me. I'm going to make it my business to be as intentional as I can to consistently meet those. She made the same commitment and it was life changing because in the beginning, right, you're afraid to do something like that. You're afraid to give your all like that to somebody because you don't know that it's going to come back to you. Right. You talked about giving a little and getting a little, right. And sometimes, at least for me, especially under the quote unquote man laws that we kind of grow up under, you're like, don't open yourself up like that. Don't play yourself is what we would say. Like, don't put yourself in a situation where you would play yourself. But after doing that and us both making that commitment, it was like night and day. I mean, because now I'm focusing on her and the things that are, you know, pleasing her, the things that are facilitating her needs. She's doing the same with me. And it's becoming this cyclical process, and we're just winning. It's just, you know, everybody's benefiting from it. And that was a turning point for us.
You are a man after my own heart in terms of the relationship stuff. So that sounds like it is a great segue to say a little bit more about the man laws and how does that, you know, where are we going with that? Do I need more rules?
Well, I don't know that we need more rules. I think we need to evaluate the ones that we've grown up under. They're not all bad, right? But for me, in my personal experience there, you know, everybody, if you think about saying what a man law is, right? If you ask somebody to say a man law, everybody can probably say something, right? Don't cry, you know, don't let them see you sweat. Don't, you know, don't let them take advantage of whatever it is, right? Win at all costs, whatever those things are. And it was just certain things, right? That, and we talked about before, not demanding what you can't, you know, you don't develop. And Morgana, you talked about how our parents kind of lived as it related to the certain roles that were defined, right? My parents still together, but I remember growing up, there were just certain things my dad didn't do. And it's not because he was just this, you know, hard guy that was like, I'm not doing that. This is not my job. It's just how it was, right? It's just gender roles. They just were what they were. My parents are from the Caribbean, so that lends itself to a whole nother family of origin dynamic. And so kind of growing up under certain things, man, and then realizing, wow, these things don't translate well in my relationship. Like I just can't be that person. I can't live under those laws. And so how the book was birthed, man, there were some things, and I picked out five things that I learned throughout my time as a husband and father that have kind of changed my approach and changed the outcomes that I am seeing as it relates to my family and the people that I interact with. And so it's more of an unlearning and relearning process that I went through.
So I think if I understand you correctly, and again, this is sort of like one of those ideas that I love, that I think if you want something different, you're going to have to do something different in order to get it.
Got to.
I would love to hear what the man laws are. I don't know if you can dive into all of them in the time we have. And of course, that's why you have a book.
That's why I have a book.
Overcoming the Man Laws. And we will post a link in the show notes. So maybe we can dive into one, two, if we have time. But
sure.
Finding out what they are?
Sure. So I'll give you two sides of that, right? So the man laws are whatever ideologies that you may have grown up under that that lend themselves to manhood or you being a man. So there's certain things that, you know, depending on your family of origin, things that you grew up with. Like, for example, there's something I heard often growing up, man up. What does that mean? Right. Suck it up. Don't let the emotions come through. You know, you think about as early as like kids falling on the ground and immediately like dust yourself off. Don't worry about it. You're OK. Don't cry. You know, all from that all the way up to the roles and responsibilities and that, you know, things such as like men just by, you know, osmosis, if you will, or just by the nature of you being a man should, you know, garner respect and you not have to reciprocate that. And so for me, the flip side of that in overcoming the man laws was I realized that these things are detrimental. And what are some of the things that I need to unlearn and relearn? So to give you one of the things that I had to learn, and this is a big one for me. So maybe this might be the only one we talk about, but a big one for me was this. Leadership sometimes looks more like maintenance man than CEO. So I'll say it one more time. Leadership sometimes looks more like maintenance man than CEO. So go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, if you could elaborate a little bit more on that.
Sure, absolutely. So if you think about from the corporate space, right, you have the CEO and you, the CEO has some responsibilities and duties that come with being the owner and operator of that company, right? Now, you let me know if you've seen this. I've never seen this. I don't think I've ever seen the CEO cleaning the bathroom.
Yeah.
And maybe that happens, but I have never seen it. So
right. No, they hired me instead. Please go on.
Hey, me too. Me too. Me too. And so the concept behind that, right, is that there's some very clear, defined things that happen in the corporate space. And there's some very clearly defined things that will not happen based on your role. And that's the approach that I took to my marriage. So especially from a lot of different, and I'm not blaming anybody, but from a lot of different things, family of origin, the influences from the faith-based community, you know, all of these different things that kind of come into play, head of household, man is the head of the home, all of this kind of stuff, right? And so I'm approaching this from a what I feel like is a CEO mindset, meaning there are certain roles and responsibilities that are tied to me. I'm not doing the rest of that stuff. And then realizing that in order for my relationship to thrive, that there are some maintenance components that have to be present, right? There has to be that emotional component, which feels like maintenance. It doesn't feel very CEO-ish, if you will, right? That vulnerability piece that we talked about, that that role reversal thing that we talked about, right? Me saying, hey, don't worry about that. I got that. You go ahead and take and rest, or you do what you need to do, or go out with your girlfriends or whatever it is. I got the house. I got the laundry. I got the whatever it is. Just busting open all of the misconceptions as it relates to what how roles are defined and taking on all of those things holistically as my responsibility and my contribution to the relationship. And that was a big one for me.
Yeah, no, that seems to be one of those kinds of things that you have to go back to over and over again.
Indeed.
Because I think part of the learning process, like I think we can unlearn things of like, here's my list of things I can unlearn and I can do, you know, I can do the first 10, but you know, I don't know if I really want to get rid of 11 through 15. And even more so, as I've discovered during my own evolution, is that there are things that I didn't even know existed and may take a little while for me to like get into an emotional, spiritual place where I can go like, oh my gosh, this thing needs to go. Mm-hmm. And it's like, this just this endless process of things where you had mentioned earlier, and this is kind of, you know, along the same line, you said that you like hashed it out with your wife. Mm-hmm. Was that sort of like a hash out over, like one night around the dinner table? Or was this like, oh no, we were working on this one for months?
Yeah, it was definitely a series of conversations. That initial conversation was, I think it was over dinner actually, because we often tell couples, we often have couples do that exercise. And we tell them to, hey, listen, set the mood for this conversation, this initial conversation, you know, whatever the mood is for you, dinner, wine, candles, whatever it is, set the mood for that first conversation, because we don't want that conversation to feel like a chore. We don't want that conversation to feel like you're just barking orders at someone either. Right. So gives you some time to do some back and forth, build that intellectual intimacy, if you will. Right. So me sharing one of my needs off of that list, sharing why that need is important to me, sharing how she can be, you know, helpful in facilitating that, sharing what I need to bring to the table as well as it relates to that need. So it's not just a one-sided, hey, give me, give me, give me. And so initially, yes, that conversation happened over dinner and it was pretty long conversation. If I recall, it was on a Tuesday because our date nights are on Tuesday. So we kind of sometimes leave those things for that. If we designate it for that kind of conversation. But then to answer your question, yes, over time, we definitely had to revisit and augment in some cases that those conversations, because as the years went by, as the kids got older, we're now grandparents. So there were certain things and certain phases and stages of life that brought us kind of quote unquote back to the table, if you will, to look at those things again. So to speak to what you said early on, it is an ongoing thing. It's you're consistently learning, you're consistently adapting. At least you should be, in order for this thing to work. So
I imagine this could be painful and difficult because we were trained from TV, from I Love Lucy and the Brady Bunch, that guys are entitled to certain stuff.
Yep.
You know? and bait and switch. Mm-hmm. You got married and we want something different now. And it takes a lot of maturity and courage to be able to like let go of these promises from childhood that you've carried for a really long time and be open to something else.
Yeah, it does. It does take a lot of, I agree with you. It takes a lot of maturity. It takes a lot of, you know, self-discovery and self-actualization. And often the initial thing that it takes is that quote unquote fear, I guess, of your situation crumbling and realizing you really don't want it to, you know? So some of that is, I'd say if I were to chronicle my own situation, it started off with frustration and that frustration getting to a point where I'm like, okay, something different has to happen. Not knowing what that difference is really at the time, but knowing that if it doesn't happen, that my, you know, my scenario is in jeopardy. And then using that motivation to be like, okay, how do I need to grow? And then that, you know, that search, I guess, if you will, for that knowledge and growth leading me to those moments of self-discovery and self-actualization.
I'm really taken that you loved your wife so much that you were willing to grow.
Indeed. Indeed. That was the one thing I knew. There was a lot I did not know. The one thing I knew is that I did not want to lose her. That was the one thing I knew. I had no idea what the game plan was, but I was like, that I know. And for me, that was kind of the motivating force. That was enough motivation for me to kind of begin to look, you know, frantically for the pieces.
So the thing that just popped in my head, as things often do, how do you approach your wife, or how did she approach you? Because, you know, when I'm running through my own sort of past things where I've attempted, not with my wife, but just in past relationships, where it's like, okay, we're going to have this serious conversation. Mm-hmm. So what needs to be fixed? And my first thing would be, well, you're a jerk. And I'm saying that a little bit tongue in cheek, but mm-hmm. I'm kind of actually like, no, straight up. Like, because sometimes I think what it is, I think a lot of people, particularly men, this is just my humble opinion, is that we don't know how to necessarily ask for things in a loving, supportive, or at least a realistic way. Do you know what I mean? And I've been called a jerk from women who probably had a long list and just like, I can't just stop at this one. We're just, you're an idiot. And that may be fine, but it didn't actually serve me in trying to figure out how to improve. Do you have any, you know, have you ever dealt with that kind of thing where one spouse or the other is just maybe a little too frank in their ideas?
Yeah. And to be quite honest, we have our and have had our moments as well where it just doesn't come out the way that it should. Right. We talk to couples all the time about tone, timing, and temperature and making sure that those things are in alignment as it relates to what is said, right? And then understanding how your spouse wants to be communicated to. And sometimes that's through trial and error. I am definitely guilty of saying the craziest things, right? I'm a shotgun communicator by nature. So it just kind of boom. And you can't, once the bullet comes out, you can't, even if you tried to grab it, you're just not quick enough to do it. And so it's going to do whatever damage it's going to do. And so for us, that often came through some trial and error. And then the thing that we had and what we encourage couples to do is use those times as learning experiences. We learned not too long ago that we have to change our perspective as it relates to those types of conflict, right? And change our point of reference when we remember those things. So when I remember something now, it's not, oh, well, you were a jerk to me. I remember that, oh, you know what? I learned this, this, and this about you. And now it's helping me approach you differently. And so we had to kind of practice that. And that's where, and that's what we had to do, because in the beginning it was that. It was, hey, you know what? I'm tired of this. You know, you always, you never, all those can opener words that we, or phrases that we say, you never do this. You always do that. You know, you can't. And it's just like, okay, well, what can I do then? Maybe I should just go, like, you know, and then moving outside of that and saying, okay, wait a minute, this is what I need from you. And what we tell couples all the time, don't just bark a need. Because you barking a need to somebody does the exact opposite of what you're trying to accomplish. You express a need, you follow that need up by how the need benefits the team. So, babe, you know, and often you craft that need in the form of a compliment. You know what? I loved when you did such and such and such the other day. I need you to keep doing that because it, blah, 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 blah. And then that lends itself to a little bit better reception than me just saying, you know what, you always, you don't never, da, 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 da. And now we're in attack mode. And so, and we had to learn that the hard way, because we've done both. We've done both. Let's be honest.
So it's a question of effectiveness.
Yeah. Well, and being willing to learn, like we tell couples all the time, be willing to learn, right? You may not get it right the first time, and God bless you if you do. Like, that's phenomenal if you're one of those people to get it right the first time, but you may not. And if you think about all of the other things outside of relationship, you know, if you're working on a job, you go through an observation and a training period, right? You may do some things wrong. You may have to come back, you know, and revisit some things, and it's okay, right? Use them as learning experiences, take them on to the next scenario. It works the same way in relationships.
I like that you use the word temperature. Like, mm-hmm. That landed for me. When we have a fight and it's like really triggering, the words we use may not be the words we mean or the best words. And both of us are feeling so hurt that it's very hard to move forward. And it maybe takes a few hours to come back to it later for us to be able to hear each other and have our natural empathy for each other and feel safe with each other. It like needs to cool down just to feel safe so that we can communicate effectively, and then we can kiss and make up and move forward.
Right. Yep. And that's how it is. And you learn. What I tell couples often is that over time, you get better at it, right? You may not even master it, but over time you get better at it, right? So what might take, you know, 3 weeks to go through may take 3 days now, or 3 hours, or, you know, whatever the growth process is. I was just talking to a couple the other day, and they were kind of down on themselves because they're like, oh man, this week, you know, we had another argument, and you know, I thought we were doing so good, and then right afterward one of them says, I thought we were doing so good, but you know, we talked about it, you know, afterward, and we, you know, we kind of realized what we did, and so hopefully, you know, it won't happen that way again. And I'm sitting like, are you hearing what you're saying? Like, 3 weeks ago, you would not have said that. That's progress. You talked about it afterward and you realized what was, you know, so, and that's what happens. Like, it's not so much the mastery as much as it is the matriculation.
So you had talked about the maintenance man versus the CEO, right? Mm-hmm. And we've talked a fair bit about sort of like conflict resolution and ideas where we're working on it. So is there something in your book that deals with sort of like the maintenance of the good stuff too?
Yes, I do. I do touch on that. I do touch on the maintenance of the good stuff, because I didn't want it to all seem like it was coming out of a place of conflict. And so there are just certain things that, from an emotional standpoint, and I'll use, again, myself as an example, I learned some things about my wife, right? There's certain things that I do. Her love language is acts of service, right? And so there's certain things that I do, Yep, it's good stuff. I'm telling you.
I think it's great stuff.
It is.
I think it completely bewilders my wife.
Okay. I'm so much easier. You just tell me I love you, and I purr like a kitten.
Right.
Yeah, and it's funny, right? Because
I'm taking out the garbage to show her how much I love her.
Yep, and it's the same thing over here, man. And I learned over time. I'm like, wait a minute. There's certain things that when they happen, the response seems to be pretty consistent. And her mood seems to be pretty consistent. And I love the response and I love her mood. So how about we just continue to keep doing those things? you know what I mean? Like, yeah, whoa. You know, and so that, you know, just to answer your question, man, those were some of those kind of maintenance, if you will, kinds of things, man, that I'm like, wait a minute, this, the ROI, if you will, is phenomenal. You know, I would be an idiot not to try to get more intentional about being consistent.
Yeah, I mean, I think without question, that's one of the things. And this kind of goes back to sort of like the crazy, sexy midlife love thing, is that I think there are certain ideas that become easier to let go of as we age and mature.
Yes, indeed.
Do you know what I mean? In other words, if like, I don't think I could have this conversation with you when I was 25. And it doesn't matter how smart you were. Right. Like if you're like, I know all the words to tell Devin to fix him. Mm-hmm. I would have fought you. I would have ran screaming out of the room.
Yep. I agree.
And I don't know what that is. And I think maybe it's at some point we really start getting a handle on certain things don't work. Do you know what I mean? Like the it's my way or the highway kind of thing may have worked in a certain kind of generation.
In a movie somewhere,
you know. But I think in general, it's just that process. I mean, was there in your own evolution, I mean, when did you start having these realizations? If you were with your wife for 20 years, there was certainly, you may have been a very young man when all that started happening.
Yeah, I can attest to the fact that if this conversation happened 20 years ago, well, it wouldn't happen 20 years ago. Basically, it wouldn't, because it's funny, man. I told my wife before we got married, I said, I don't want you to ever change because I'm never going to change. Now, had I never changed, we wouldn't be having this conversation because you wouldn't know me. I wouldn't be married. life would be crazy right now if I had never changed. Right. And I know over time, there are just certain things that happen in your life that cause you to view the world and view life through a different lens, right? For me, when I was younger, I feel like I have a handle on my world the way it is right now. I love my world the way it was at that time. And I can't see past that, right? Or I didn't choose to see past that. And so not choosing to see past that, I wasn't really opening myself up for any level of growth because I'm pigeonholing myself into this one scenario. And then as I get older and I'm having to impart certain things to the kids and realizing, okay, I'm imparting some things that I don't even have a handle on myself. So what is the process for growth right here? And how do I facilitate this to not only make myself a better person, but to show them the type of example that's needed. And as you get older, Morgana, I think you talked about this. I think Devin, you said something too about the maturation process and just the lens looks very different. It changes over time. And when you look through it, you see, whoa, I need to do something.
I think, you know, for me, as I've aged, like I use this analogy a lot, that there's sort of two roads that you can travel. And one is filled with steamed broccoli and the other is Snickers bars. And I love the Snickers bars and I would just eat nothing but Snickers bars if that was allowed, if I wouldn't eat myself to death in all likelihood. Mm-hmm. And I think what a lot of it is, like really what I'm saying is that I think when I was 25, I was very much about reacting. In other words, this is the default thing. So if you said one thing, I'm going to respond very quickly. And it didn't matter what you said. I wasn't going to think about it. I was just going to respond the way Devin has been raised to respond. And I think as I've gotten older, I'm much more interested in the actual two-way conversation, where I can actually stop and be a little bit more mindful about what you're saying, what you might be teaching, what I might be able to learn, and slowing that response down.
So if I get this correctly, I am steamed broccoli. Is that what you're saying?
No, you are.
Answer carefully.
You are everything. You are Snickers bars and ice cream cones and sugar and spice and the light of my life.
But healthy like broccoli.
Right, but I feel slimmer already. Was that? How did I do? Was that so? Oh,
that was phenomenal.
If you were counseling us, was that all right?
That was phenomenal. That all is. Right. I'm telling you. But Anna, she, feel good about that.
But she had enough wherewithal to say, think carefully.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good, I think, for everybody concerned.
Yeah. And it's funny, right? We joke about that, but it's the exchanges. It's those kinds of exchanges that grow us, right? Because they open you up because let's say, for example, Devin, you quote unquote, maybe didn't say the right thing in that moment, right? It lends itself for an opportunity for you to learn something, right? It's not necessarily a bad thing, you know, and Morgana did something fantastic just now. She was like, she added, but healthy like broccoli, right? So it's a team effort. And that's what I tell couples all the time. It's a team effort. You can get through this thing if you approach it from the team concept. I'm a big sports guy, right? I haven't been watching any of the college games. My son has been watching them all, but I'm a basketball guy. And so, you know, there's five people on the court in a team, right? None of the five are playing the same position, right? If you put five centers out there, maybe it could work in a certain scenario, but that's not going to consistently over the season. You're probably not going to win with that strategy. You know, so everybody brings something that lends itself, if the synergy's right, to getting that W at the end of the game. So that's been our approach as of late, and it seems to be working.
So I have a kind of a question that just came to me.
Sure.
What did you fall in love with? What did you fall in love with first about your wife?
Mm.
And what do you love about her most now?
I would say the thing that I fell in love with was, well, the answer is probably both the same and to some degree, but we were really good friends. And I had never experienced that level of friendship before with the opposite sex. So there was always some, always some ulterior motive, or it started with sex, there was just something, there was some looming scenario that, you know, was the undertone of that whole experience. And for her, that's not how it started. For her, it literally started as her being my friend. I was in another relationship, matter of fact, when I met her. And it was just something about our interaction that was completely different than anything I'd ever experienced. And I always told myself, if I were to end up committing myself to a lifelong relationship with somebody, this is what it needs to feel like. Like, I need to feel like this with that person, not realizing it was going to be her. So I fell in love with that, not knowing that that's what was happening, you know, that I was actually falling in love. The thing that has just endeared me, if you will, to her from that moment on is something that I say often. And you probably, Morgana, have heard me say this in Clubhouse. She treats me like the man I should be. And for me, that is just it. For some people, I can see where guys would take advantage of that and be like, okay, I don't have to step up to the plate because she already treats me like a king, so I don't have to be kingly. For me, it did the exact opposite. It just gave me this ridiculous motivation to try to live up to it. And so I just been feverishly trying to live up to that treatment for, you know, for my entire life with her. And I think that that has lent itself to making me a better person. And so that's what I love about her, man. She sees some things in me. She pushes me to do some things. She pulls some things out of me that I don't want pulled out. You know, she empowers me to do some things that I don't always have the confidence to do. And it's just, it's incredible to me. I love it.
We're going to have her on the show too.
Absolutely.
So, we are out of time. If you have your book lying around.
Yes, I do. Yes. I have it right here. It's Overcoming the Man Laws for the Man Who Wants to Be His Best Despite What He Was Taught.
Fantastic. So thank you so much. Yes.
Where can we find it? And where can we find you?
Absolutely. Good question. Thank you. You can find me. Probably the easiest place to find me would be the website, which is Denali, D-E-N, as in Nancy, O-L-I. It's really just the first three letters of my wife's name, Denise, and the first three letters of my name, Oliver, denoli.org.
That is togetherness.
We will have that in the show notes. We will have, I assume we can get your book on Amazon.
You can get the book on Amazon or you can get it on the website. So from the website, you can pretty much get to everything else that we do.
Fantastic. We will have both on the show notes. Thank you so much. You are a pleasure. I learned so much. And thank you. This completes today's anniversary, 1 year anniversary episode.
That's amazing.
Of Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. We will be back next week, Wednesday, 5 p.m. Pacific time with more Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Be sure to go to crazysexymidlifelove.com and watch Devin's and my first 11 weddings of 100 weddings in 100 countries, still in process. And download Devin's book, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Every Marriage-Minded Woman Needs to Know.
And women are smarter than men, for sure. Mwah.
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com.